In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, October 30th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Persecution of Christians in Uganda is increasing at an alarming rate. A mother of 8 children was hacked to death by a Muslim mob in eastern Uganda for converting to Christianity. Her brother-in-law was also killed last month. Her last words were, "I know that the attackers are looking for me." Monica was quoted as saying, "We are seeking God's protection and His peace. May God give me the courage to continue sharing the love of Christ to those who are lost, as Jesus said we should love our enemies." In a far less egregious example of persecution, a football coach in Washington State was removed from coaching because he would kneel and pray on the 50-yard line after each game. The Liberty Institute is handling Coach Joe Kennedy's case. The Pakistani Supreme Court may be acting in favor of Christians. The High Court recently instructed the government to review the current blasphemy laws. The concern is false or trumped-up allegations. The American Family Association has completed a new review of corporations on the basis of their support of religious liberties, and Walmart heads the list with a perfect score. AFA President Tim Wildman explained the purpose for their new survey on America's corporations.
We decided no other organization we know is surveying corporate America about their views on religious freedom. We get rankings on everything else, and the far left groups, they put out their ratings, like the Human Resource Campaign, they put out their rankings on how, quote, gay-friendly a company is. So we decided we were going to send out to survey companies on what their views were on religious freedom for their employees.
And the winners for the last Republican presidential debate, by all reports, were Ted Cruz and Chris Christie. Polls have Cruz at number 3 in Iowa behind Ben Carson and Donald Trump. Senator Rand Paul threatened a filibuster at the debate Wednesday night to stop the deficit spending and the ever-expanding debt ceiling in Washington. But come Thursday, his filibuster lasted just 19 minutes. He needed 41 conservative Republicans to make it work, and there were none to be found. U.S. fighter jets intercepted several Russian jets on Thursday over the Pacific Ocean near South Korea. The Russian jets were flying close to an American aircraft carrier, and the Navy characterized the interception as safe and in accord with standard operating procedure. The North Korea tyranny has found another way to fund their war machine and enrich state coffers. The government confiscates earnings from North Korean workers employed in other countries, like China, Kuwait, and Russia. CNN reports that this nets the North Korean government between $1 and $2 billion a year. As many as 100,000 North Koreans are forced to work under harsh conditions with little or no remuneration. Ted Cruz's father told the World Congress of Family Meeting in Salt Lake City that the next move for homosexual activists would be to normalize pedophilia. Pastor Rafael Cruz also pointed out that laws on statutory rape would have to be removed for the legalization of pedophilia. "Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked, further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves." Psalm 140, verse 8. Airport security will soon reject New Mexico driver's licenses. The Department of Homeland Security has informed the New Mexican state government it will no longer approve of the licenses after January 10th. The reason cited was the state policy allowing issuance of licenses to illegal immigrants. All Saints' Eve is tomorrow. Some will celebrate the Day of the Dead or Halloween. But according to a Lifeway research study, 21% of Americans will not be celebrating the holiday this year, and another 14% say they will avoid the pagan elements of the day. Yesterday, we reported on Chinese Christians who are facing forced abortions due to China's one-child policy. By the overruling providence of God, the Chinese Communist Party leadership decided to end its one-child policy on Thursday after 35 years of forced abortions, infanticide, and sterilizations. All married couples will now be able to have at least 2 children. Praise God! The king's heart is truly in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water he turns it wherever he will. And that's the world view in 5 minutes on this Friday, October 30th in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. During the demise of Western civilization, the transfer of a Christian worldview to a humanist worldview and towards a pagan worldview, and one of the indications of that is the celebration of Halloween, which is becoming one of the most celebrated holidays of the year, almost to the point where it is celebrated more often than Easter. So when the Day of the Dead is celebrated more than the Day of Life or the Day of Resurrection, friends, that's an indication that paganism pretty much rules the day. And by the way, Halloween also was at one point a day in which the martyrdoms, the great saints who lived in past centuries, were celebrated. Their lives were celebrated. Some celebrate Reformation Day on October 31st. Others will celebrate Halloween or the Day of the Dead. The Day of the Dead was the original day at which the pagans would celebrate October 31st. All right, my friends. Well, today I'm going to take this story from Washington Post on vampirism. Apparently vampirism is on the rise. No question why it's on the rise, of course. All forms of paganism, whether it be tattooing or body mutilation or eating of placenta, cannibalism, you know, just list all of the different aspects of paganism that have worked its way in. And I'm going to deal with some of that in just a moment. I've got a chapter on it entitled Jesus, the Rise of Paganism. And of course, these pagan symbols stand for something. They certainly don't lead us back to Christ. But vampirism on the rise, big time on the rise. And this, of course, a form of cannibalism. And this story refers to real vampires, people who depend on human blood for their subsistence, something like what happens in the stories. And it's interesting. This story speaks of John Edgar Browning, who is a doctoral candidate at Louisiana State University. He is a homosexual investigating vampires. He's very enamored by vampirism. No question why a homosexual would investigate vampires similar to Capote. Remember Capote?
Yeah, Truman Capote. He was a homosexual that investigated the murders in Holcomb, Kansas.
Yes, and he was enamored by these axe murders in Holcomb, Kansas.
Well, they're shotgun murders. He might have done some axe murdering elsewhere, but Holcomb. I grew up in Western Kansas, so
you know all about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Clutter family was most of them. There was a couple boys I think that weren't there, but these guys came in and murdered them with a shotgun.
And Truman Capote was very enamored by it, and you know he was sort of sucked into the autonomy of it. Just the autonomy of it was impressive to him. Well, when you've got a homosexual investigating other forms of death penalty crimes, no question in my mind why somebody like Truman Capote would eventually become somewhat attached to and enamored by these axe murders or these serial killers.
Yeah.
And so, again, friends, this is the kind of thing that's happening in this investigation of vampires, as covered by the Washington Post. Now, it's interesting. These people, I'm not going to read the whole story. It goes on and on. It's like four or five pages. But I'm not going to go through all the details here. But I do want to point out a couple of things. One is that these people are chemically dependent on human blood. I mean, they say they are, and proof that they are. You know, they find it something to be something genetic. Oh, yeah. You know what?
Why not?
So is homosexuality. You know, that's a whole point that people are trying to draw at homosexuality. And lying. People get chemically dependent upon lying. And of course, they have a tremendous commitment to lying because it is a genetic issue.
Yeah, pedophilia. Why not? I mean, somebody might be genetically dispossessed.
Sure.
You know, so there's NAMBLA right there again. So.
Yeah, sure. Well, this physical dependence, I think, has a great deal to do with the human autonomy and the great deal of hatred that people have towards man, towards blood, towards the life that's in the blood, and towards the creator who created man in his image, in God's image. And at root, we go to root and we say, well, what's the psychological thing working here? And by the way, the article does acknowledge that this is a psychological issue that works its way out into physical dependence. So you know, psychologists are at least honest enough to acknowledge that. But why the psychology? Why the dependence? Why the commitment to? Why the addiction to blood or alcohol, for that matter? Why the drunkenness? Why is drunkenness always an issue? People say, well, it just becomes a idolatry issue. Yes, it's an idolatry issue, but even more fundamental to that, it is a hatred of the true and living God. It's escape from the true and living God. It is the desire to offend the true and living God. So why do we come back to drunkenness constantly? Why does the addict have to be drunk every night? Why does the man committed to homosexuality have to commit himself to this homosexual attraction all the time? Because at root, man is a rebel against the true and living God. He is out to escape God. He's out to offend God, and he gets addicted to it. So he gets to the point where he has to do it all the time. Friends, this is the root issue that's involved in sin. Okay, now, in just a moment, we're going to investigate what the Word of God has to say about drinking blood. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
What is the future of our religious liberties in America? How should Christians respond to an increasingly hostile environment? What can we do to defend our diminishing freedoms while we still can? Come to the Freedom 2015 National Religious Liberties Conference, November 6 and 7 in Des Moines, Iowa, to hear the stories of targeted Christians like Dick and Betty Odegar and get equipped on how to respond when the government comes knocking on your door. Go to freedom2015.org while summer registration prices are still available. That's freedom2015.org.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you as we approach Halloween this weekend. And speaking of vampirism, which is on the rise in America, I think someone said, an article said something like 1 in 50,000 people or 5,000 people in the United States identify themselves as real vampires. About 50 living in New Orleans, so it's on the rise. No question why it would be. It runs in the pagan worldview, and it's been revived strongly by the motion
Twilight.
Picture industry.
Yeah.
Twilight was the series that came out and was extremely popular amongst the youth. And I've even been in Christian homes. You know, I was in a pastor's home one time. This would have been about 4 or 5 years ago. I think it was a homeschooling pastor, and his daughter was into these books, the Twilight books. So these books, very, very popular. Vampirism, cannibalism, this kind of thing, very, very popular. Now, the good guys in Twilight just suck up animal blood, not human blood. So there's a little bit of a distinction there, but it doesn't help you because the Word of God doesn't salvage you on that one because the life is in the blood. Leviticus 17:10-14, the life is in the blood. And there are multiple instances throughout Scripture, all the way up to Acts 15, where the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter and the men who are gathered together in the Jerusalem Council said, we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to the laws of God in the Old Testament. Yeah, circumcision doesn't count anymore, but remember, laws like fornication, the eating of the blood, etc., still apply, and we're going to teach the Gentiles these laws. And that was solidified at the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, and friends, that holds true. I know there are antinomians that want to throw out every single moral aspect of God's law cover to cover, all the way to the book of Revelation, but I'm sorry, the book of Revelation says that those who maintain the faith in the years to come are those who maintain the testimony of Jesus and keep the commandments of God. This is what defines those who oppose the beast and the vampires and the homosexuals, et cetera, and the neuronic agenda and so forth in the end times. All right, so those who still keep the commandments of God are those who hold to Acts 15 and Leviticus 17. And Steve, these are indications that paganism, as I said, are on the rise. The consuming of the placenta clearly condemned as definitively evil in Deuteronomy 28:57. Look it up if you... And this has been very popular out here in Colorado amongst some of the midwives, not all of them. Thankfully, we have a Christian Midwifery Institute.
Yes.
That, by the way, I just spoke with them about 3 or 4 weeks ago. They had their annual conference and spoke to them. And so thankfully there is a Christian Midwifery Institute extant somewhere in America today. Here in the state of Colorado, they do not consume the blood. They will not consume the blood-rich elements of the human body. Of course, the pagans have done this for a long time. The cannibals in World War II, the Japanese,
yeah,
who would consume some of the American pilots and others who were shot down during the war. And by the way, there are some pretty good books. James Bradley writes a number of books on these things. So and I think they're very historically accurate. But these Japanese would cannibalize and typically go for the liver first. Why? Because blood rich. Because the strength, the courage, the life is in the blood. And this, my friends, is what I call a universal symbol. Even the pagans understand it. It moves from generation to generation, from culture to culture. It is cross-cultural. It's cross-generational. And that's why there are some of these specific cultural-related laws still there in the Old Testament and still apply to this day. And I treat these elements of culture in my book on culture called The Tattooed Jesus. I would encourage you, if you do not want to be a pagan, if you don't want to apostatize from the faith, and you want to understand what the Word of God has to say about all these things, and especially addressing these psychological, cross-cultural issues, cultural issues, where these symbols really mean something in the pagan mind, and God still has the right to speak to these things, check out my book, The Tattooed Jesus, What Would the Real Jesus Do with Pop Culture? So, Steve, this cannibalism thing is cross-cultural. It moves across lines. I mean, think about the Japanese, not exactly considered pagans in World War II, yet were acting as pagans as they cannibalized the American airmen. But this is also something the pagan tribes would do as well.
Oh, yeah. That way back in during the pagan tribe, there's a guy, I think his name is Turnbull. He wrote about Stanley, who went to find Livingston, and he wrote
this
a
was
book
in Africa.
Yeah, and so this guy Turnbull wrote a whole book on just blood covenant and talked about how it, you know, this is very, very old, and that if you would either drink the blood of your enemy or eat their heart, any of that stuff, you would get their life into you. And Stanley was helping a young lady who I think she was pregnant, and a drop of blood of hers got into his eye. And she said, "You've ingested my blood. We are in covenant together." And so this is something that's very, very old. And that's why God dealt with it even way back in Leviticus. Don't drink the blood, because life's in the blood.
Well, and, you know, this wasn't the only pagan symbol or a universal symbol of paganism included in Leviticus chapter 19 for the practice of divination or soothsaying. Very, very popular among the witch doctors among pagan tribes. Very,
yes,
very popular. Shaving the sides of the beard, removing all signs of masculinity that were placed there by God. That is, you know, the cross-dressing thing. That's on the rise as well in America. Making cuttings on your flesh for the dead. Leviticus 19:28, that's verse 28. Tattoo marks on the body, that's verse 28 as well. And prostitution of daughters, verse 29. So, you know, I think all of these have been, are on the rise somewhere in the Western world today. There's, you know, and again, friends, if you, some of you want to pick out one of these, say, I still want to do this, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to cannibalize, but I will prostitute my daughters. No, I don't want to prostitute my daughters, but I do want to do divination. I do want to cross-dress and remove all signs of masculinity placed there by God, but I don't want to prostitute my daughter. You know, come on, don't pick and choose. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
In this book, all I'm saying is don't pick and choose.
Yeah, God's law is not a smorgasbord.
Be a little more consistent, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, some will say, well, what do you do with animal sacrifices? Well, Hebrews clearly calls that discontinued and actually continued in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. But you can't turn to laws like bestiality and the prostitution of daughters and things like this and say, well, Jesus fulfilled that and we can prostitute our daughters now. Give me a break. No. The ceremonial laws are fulfilled in the sacrifice of Jesus. But we don't toss out all these universal symbols of paganism that God legislates in Leviticus 19 in the New Testament era. So be very, very careful. Be cautious. God has the right to discontinue some application based upon a New Testament application. But if it's not specifically discontinued in the New Testament, friends, you have no right. No right. No, you have no right to discontinue the application in the New Testament. Now, there are numbers, maybe 40, 50, 60% of Americans today who are tattooed, and many of whom have become Christians and have repented. thankfully. Now, what should we say about tattoos? Because that probably is something that is repeated more than anything else. And that's one reason why I have a chapter dedicated to that in my book on culture. And by the way, the book deals with more than tattoos. But, so what do we say about tattoos? Well, what we say is this. God doesn't want you tattooing anymore, so stop it. Don't do any more of that tattooing. Repent of it. And here's the second thing. God has put a symbol and a sign upon you. These tattoos and this blood drinking and so forth is very symbolic and sacramental. That's why it has such a powerful effect on the people that do it. They understand psychologically what it means. That's why it has such a sacramental effect. Now, it's not a sacrament God wants you celebrating. The pagans celebrate these sacraments. But God has put a sacrament and a sign upon us, and that is baptism. And one reason why the evangelicals are losing this battle with the pagans is because they're not acknowledging the sacrament, the depth of the tattoo that God places on us by baptism. It's a very important doctrine. And if we're going to salvage the Christian faith, we're going to salvage the doctrine of baptism. It's going to happen with some minority of those who will salvage the faith in the next century. But baptism will be a vital ordinance or sacrament ordained by God and considered to be such. And, you know, I run into these guys with tattoos. I just did this last weekend. We talked a little bit. I said, you know, brother, I said, you're my brother, and it's time for you to start ignoring these tattoos, these humanistic tattoos that you placed on your body, and start acknowledging for once in our lives the importance and the depth of the tattoo that Jesus put on us. Because baptism identifies us with Jesus. And that's what tattoos are supposed to do. They're supposed to identify you with your gang, your tribe, or fill in the blank. And the problem with the modern millennial is they lost their identity. They're wandering, lost boys and girls. They're lost. They have no identity left. Friends, when Jesus puts his identity on you by baptism, when that pastor stands over you, puts water over your head, or puts you under and says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he has identified you. He's identified. He's put a tattoo on you. He's burned a mark on you for the rest of your life. And it's time for you to acknowledge it. That tattoo burns deeper than any other tattoo that any humanist could ever put upon you. It's time to acknowledge identity. This is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, I don't think our young men and women understand the identity they have with Jesus Christ. Now, they can ignore it. They can try to rebel against it. They can try to deny it. They can try to de-baptize them. You know, there are atheists out there. Atheist organizations have tried to de-baptize, tried to take the mark off. But once you've been marked by Jesus Christ, you're marked, baby. You've got that mark on you. Now, I'm not saying that it's baptismal regeneration. I don't go that far.
Yeah.
But I do say that baptism has been so degraded. It's so degraded. There is so little identity that comes with baptism anymore. There's no more identification with Jesus anymore in his death, his baptism, or his burial. There's so little identification with him anymore that people run off and try to identify themselves with something else.
Yeah, and I've heard pastors tell me that they'll get visitors that are the children of, you know, these parents, and the parents will say, we'll let the kid come to church, but don't you dare baptize them. Because the parents even know that there's something about baptism that is a permanent thing. And so they're okay with them walking into the door, walking into that room and listening to scripture. But boy, there's something about baptism that the world still knows. The world knows sometimes better than we do that this is something that identifies us with Christ.
Isn't it interesting, Steve, how the modern world, you know, as we see the apostasy going on, meaning that millions, if not billions, of people are leaving the Christian church from the year 1900 onwards. Church attendance in Britain and Canada, et cetera, moving from 60% down to 6%, and the 6% still attending are endorsing homosexual marriage. We find them endorsing all of these pagan forms. So we move directly from Christianity to endorsing homosexuality, consuming blood, embracing body mutilation, androgyny, and every other pagan practice you can imagine. Isn't it interesting that And the Christian church itself is endorsing these things and embracing every element of paganism, from homosexuality to androgyny to prostitution of daughters to cuttings on the flesh to removing all signs of masculinity to divination, soothsaying, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Think about Harry Potter, be an example of these movies that endorse soothsaying and divination. No question at all. There's whispering involved in the recent Hobbit movie. Now, granted, there wasn't that level of soothsaying and whispering in the books, but of course they had to do it in the movies. Why? Yeah. Because America is all about paganism. America is embracing the very worst, most degraded forms of a life on planet Earth, exactly the way the pagan Africans used to live. And who knows but that we may see African missionaries coming to America someday in the future and ministering to those evangelical kids who were busy watching Harry Potter movies and the Twilight movies back in the 2000s. Hopefully we will see African missionaries approach this nation someday and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to us and deliver us from these this darkness, this heavy, heavy darkness, the darkness of Mordor that has spread across the United States. Should Christians tattoo themselves? Would Jesus tattoo Leviticus 19:28 to his left thigh? Some Christians consider this borderline blasphemy to even ask the question. Others are delighted to answer the question to the affirmative. Both parties can't be right. And that's why I wrote this book, The Tattooed Jesus. And we just ordered another 1,000 copies, just received them the day before yesterday. So, friends, if you'd like to salvage the faith, if you'd like to understand where the American religion has gone wayward, and where we need to get back to the Word of God and repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ, Some of the most important issues of the day are discussed here in my book, The Tattooed Jesus, What Would the Real Jesus Do with Pop Culture? I recommend the book to you at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.